Thanks for choosing to listen to another City Point West podcast. I trust that this message empowers and encourages you to continue your journey of faith. Enjoy.
Can we give Jesus some praise, City Point? Come on. Yeah. We magnify you, Jesus. We give you praise in your house. Amen and amen. Before you grab a seat, why don't you slap a high five with three people and just tell them, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. It will be wonderful. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you, guys. God bless. My Lord, my Lord. Who's excited to be in church this morning? Far out. I tell you what, I think we could already go home after our power-filled praise and worship that we've been able to enjoy together this morning. Pastor Wendy McDonald, she's standing down the back, but that was not song leading. That was ministering. That was opening up the heavens. That was leading us into the... Come on, if you're grateful for Pastor Wendy, why don't you put your hands together and thank God. My Lord! What a gift of worship. So incredible. Since the manifest presence of God. The man whistling, by the way, Pastor Wendy, was your husband, just to be clear. Yeah, if we're going to get wolf whistling in the service, we want to make sure it's the pastor's husband. And... not somebody else. That might be a social cue for someone else here, but just amazing. And then Pastor Tim, just love you so much. Thank God for you. What a man of God you are. What a gift of faith you carry. What a passion you have. What a purity of heart you possess. What a great ambassador for the kingdom you are. What a tremendous discipler of people, releaser of people. What a such a breath of encouragement you bring. The gift of faith on your life is amazing. In fact, church, let me just tell you, wherever I go in America especially, I spend about 16 weeks of the year in America right now, and wherever I go, whenever I meet people, I always tell them, I'm Tim McDonald's friend. When they hear I'm from Australia, which is where I live now, I always tell them I'm Tim McDonald's friend. People shake my hand in airports, opens up doors. Your pastor, I'm serious, is a YouTube sensation for not just for his preaching, but for free diving. And it opens up doors for me everywhere I go. So I'm grateful to be your friend, Pastor Tim. I love you. But truly indeed, you are a great man of God. The kingdom needs so many more like you. This church is blessed to have you. Come on, if you love this man of God, this woman of God, City Point, why don't you put your hands together? Come on, come on. Just go crazy for a second. Let's thank God for this couple. So glad that you're here. Wow, amazing. Obviously, Pastor Tim's dad is not here this morning, but Pastor David McDonald, I just want to honor him as a general in the faith, as an elder statesman in the body of Christ in Australia and around the world. Even though he's not here, can we just honor him? I love him, and such a great man. Such a breath of encouragement to ever be around him. Mark and Lee Ramsey, we love them. All the team that are here as well. So great to be here. I'm so honored, just expecting for all that God is going to do today. For those of you who don't know me, I'm married to only one woman. I think we can agree that's a good thing. Even better, my wife Jillian has been the same wife for 27 and a half years we've been married. We got married when we were 8 years old, and I love my wife Jillian. She's not with me this morning, but I call Jillian the voice of chocolate, and the reason why is that we spend a lot of nights apart from each other, but all it takes is for her to answer the phone anytime, anywhere, and just say, hello. And when I hear that word, it's like my life is made. I love my wife. She excites me. She pleases me. She makes me laugh. She makes me smile. She's the joy of my life, my best friend, and I'm so blessed to be married to such a great woman. I have two children. My daughter Lara is 19 years old. Please pray for me because she has a boyfriend. It's the worst, I'm telling you. It's like your heart is outside of you when you have children, but then when they start to fall in love with other people, it's terrible. It's the worst. And it's getting bad because it's hard to dislike this kid. Like, he's actually treating her really, really well. I have threatened to do things to this man that I have not threatened to do to any other human being alive, I'm telling you. But he is doing so well, so please pray for me. I have a son, Will. He is 17 years old and 6'3", which is hilarious. Yeah, he's right up here, which is funny. In fact, when I give him a hug goodnight, my cheek goes on his chest, which is really bizarre. And then he has my voice, so he's like, good night, Dad. And it's like, who is the father here and who is the son? It does help, though, if I want to get things from a high shelf. I don't know where to step ladder anymore. I just summon him from wherever he is. And it's wonderful. If you have a Bible this morning, we're going to go to the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. The Gospel of Luke chapter 1. While you're turning there, I just want to let you know that in the foyer today, I've bought a few copies of this book that I wrote. I actually wrote the outline of this book when I was about maybe 19, 20 years old. The book is called Enter In. It's themed around the book of Joshua, and it's all about how we can be a generation that steps beyond the Jordan River and into the promises of God. There are two crossings that God wants every person to make. The first is when you find Christ, when you leave Egypt, the world, and you pass through the Red Sea, speaking of the waters of baptism, into what Hebrews describes as the glorious freedom of the children of God. But there remains a second crossing, and that's where we cross the Jordan River from the place of safety, where God does it, into the place of abundance, but where we do it, where we have to take steps to possess that which God has for us. And this book is a manual on how you can do that in your life. It's $10 in the foyer. Please make yourself available of that. And I'd like to give this to Pastor Tim's eldest son, Josh and Precious, who've just got engaged. So I just want to give that to you, buddy. Love you. Thank God for you. Yeah. Congratulations to you both. Come on, give it up to these guys. Aren't they amazing? I'm stressed that my daughter's got a boyfriend. You've got a son who's engaged. That's a whole... I think it's different when you got boys, though. It's different. I don't know. Luke chapter 1. We're going to begin reading today in verse 13. Luke chapter 1 and verse 13. If you do not have a Bible, turn to a nearby Christian. It also works just to read the screen that is behind me. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Anybody grateful God hears your prayer? Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Amazing. Many of the people of Israel he will bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Then Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years. How can I be sure of this? How can I be sure of this? How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years. The angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. Now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. You can talk yourself out of your miracle, you know. Sometimes the best thing you can do is just shut up and let God do it. Verse 19, just one more time. The angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you. The angel said three things. Firstly, he said, I am Gabriel. I have a clear identity. I am Gabriel. I am Gabriel. He said, I stand in the presence of God. I have intimacy. And I have been sent to speak to you. I have authority. I have identity. I have intimacy. I have authority. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray you just anoint this message. Help me to preach it right. I pray you'd encourage somebody in this room. Bring a word of faith to someone who's in the middle of a desperate situation. Awaken our lives towards your wonder. Bring miracles into this room today. Banish our doubts and bring your word. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. There is a story in the book of Acts that I take a lot of encouragement from. It's in Acts chapter 19, and it centers around the seven sons of Sceva. The seven sons of Sceva. Try saying that five times real fast. The seven sons of Sceva. I love these boys because they are pastors' sons. Their father is a priest, and they've grown up in the house of God. They've been used to the activities of church, but they hear that in the name of Jesus, the Apostle Paul has been driving demons out of people. And I don't know what happened. I know how brothers are. I'm sure they began to talk amongst themselves. How they hyped themselves up, I'm not quite sure. But suddenly, these boys decide, we've had enough of just helping Dad offer up the entrails and worship. We need to get in on some of this deliverance stuff. When there's something weird in your neighborhood, who are you going to call? The seven sons of Sceva. We want to get in on this kind of action. So one day, the seven sons of Sceva are rolling down the street and they find themselves confronted with a demon-possessed man. I don't know which brother was the spokesperson, but one of the boys speaks up, addresses the demoniac man and says to him, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out. Now remember, these are pastors' kids, right? So they're not saying this with like a question on the end of their voice like we do down here to try and make ourselves sound less confrontational. Like in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out. These are preachers' kids. They know how to say something with authority, man. They probably put an American accent on just to sound more anointed. You know what I mean? Like in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out. And the Bible tells us that the demoniac man looks back at the seven brothers and he says these words, Acts 19, 15. He said, Jesus I know, and I've heard about Paul, but who are you? I love that. The demoniac man jumps to his feet. This is in the Bible. Beats up the seven sons of Sceva, strips them of their clothing, and they flee their ministry assignment wearing nothing but a smile. I love that story. What an awesome story. That is a crazy fail. Can we all agree with that? I take a lot of encouragement because, friends, I've been holding microphones and preaching to people for 31 years of my life. And the truth is, team, I've had some amazing moments. I preached to some of the largest conferences and Christians gatherings literally on the face of this planet. Been amazed to see what the Lord has done in continents and different places, churches, stadiums, arenas. Spoken to tens of thousands on multiple occasions in my life. Walked off the platform and felt God used me, being so grateful for what the Lord has done. But at the same time, if I was to be honest with you, I've had some bad days at the office as well. I've walked off platforms and thought that was a complete failure. Had words come out of my mouth and felt like they went straight to the floor. I remember in my first year of ministry, 19 years old, having to write letters to places apologizing for stupid things that I had said from the pulpit, desperate to get people to listen to me. But I want to testify to you today for the glory of God that in 31 years, I've made it from the platform, through the congregation, out the foyer, and to my car, fully clothed on each and every occasion. I testify to you today that I haven't even missed a button on a single occasion. Fly down a couple of times, if I was to be honest with you. But the truth is, friends, I've never walked out the church car park in my birthday suit. My worst day is a lot better than their day. And I love that story because it encourages me. Maybe you've ever been up here, held a microphone, thought you bombed, sang a song, thought you're off key. Just check your clothing. Still on? If you're still clothed, it could have gone a lot worse. We see from the Bible, it ain't all bad. That is an epic fail. What crazy words that demon spoke. How about those words? Think about them. Acts 19:15. Oh, Jesus, I know. I've heard about Jesus. Oh, man. Our Instagram feed is nothing but Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I've heard about Paul. Oh, he's annoying demons everywhere. But who are you? Who are you? The demon didn't recognize them, didn't acknowledge them, felt no need to submit to them. It's like the demon is saying, you're out here and you're trying to speak with authority. And though it's in your voice, it's not in your spirit. Because you can't talk about God if you don't know God. It's like the demon was saying to the seven sons of Sceva, you've never stood in the presence of God. In our passage of scripture today, we've got two central characters, and they are Zechariah, who is a priest, and we've got Gabriel, who is an archangel. And when we read Luke chapter 1, in fact, if you want some homework when you go home, go back before verse 13, and we discover a whole lot about Zechariah in our reading today. We discover about Zechariah that he is a man of God, that he is upright in the sight of the Lord, that he has observed the Lord's commandments blamelessly, that he is old and well advanced in years, and so is his wife, and that he has been unable to give birth to children. And then one day, Zechariah is chosen as a priest by lot to go behind the curtain into the Holy of Holies to offer up incense where the Ark of the Covenant and the Shekinah glory of God dwelt. Only one priest once a year was able to go behind the curtain, and Zechariah is chosen. Even to go behind the curtain, they would offer up sacrifices for sins that he had committed and for sins that they thought, well, maybe he doesn't remember them, but he could have committed them, and they'd offer up sacrifices for those as well. And then they would attach a rope to his ankle and a bell to the ankle so that he would dingle as he went into the presence of God. And if the bell stopped chiming, they would know that God had struck him dead for his sin, and they would drag him from the presence of God by the rope, not wanting to go behind there themselves, that they might die as well. And isn't it amazing that behind that curtain was where the presence of God was, where the glory of God dwelt, where miracles happened, where the voice of God could speak. And now the Bible tells you and me that because of the blood of Jesus, We don't come to God in fear. We don't come to God in uncertainty that we don't need to offer up another sacrifice again. But when Jesus' life was laid out upon that cross, the temple was curtain was torn from top to bottom by the hand of God. And now God says we can all come boldly to get what we need from our God, no matter what our hour of need might be. And if you're grateful for Jesus, give him some praise in this room right now. You can come when you're broken. You can come when you're fallen. You can come when you're disappointed with yourself. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life, what hell has broken out around you. We can all come and stand before our God and get the strength and the help we need. And if you're grateful for that, one more time, give your God some praise in his house today. Zechariah comes behind the curtain, and standing there in the Holy of Holies is the angel Gabriel. Gabriel opens his mouth and he says to Zechariah, "Do not be afraid, Zach. Your prayers have been heard. God's going to give you a son. You're going to call him John. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel, he'll turn back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Standing in the most holy and intimate place of the presence of God, standing in the glory of God, Zechariah is given a prophetic promise from God. And the prophetic promise that Zechariah is given is not concerning something that he is emotionally removed from. He is an old man without a child. The opening line gives us a clue about what's on Zechariah's heart when the angel says, "Your prayers have been heard." The prophecy that was given was towards Zechariah's prayers, towards what he wanted more than anything else in his life. Yet standing in the presence of God, being promised something that he wants more than anything else in the world, Zechariah's response to the promise is to question it. He opens his mouth and he says, "How can I be sure of this?" The promise is given and doubt is awakened. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid." Have you ever experienced, like I've experienced, that at the moment when God begins to promise you stuff is exactly the same moment when your fears begin to get awakened? Like right when you feel God's going to use me, he's got his hand upon my life, at the very same time, fear begins to manifest itself in your life. Yeah. The reason why is because we've got two spirits at work. We've got the spirit of God that awakens faith in us, and we've got the spirit of the devil that awakens fear on the inside of us. Anybody grateful that God drives out our fear? That 2 Timothy 1:7 says that he did not give you a spirit of fear. That God's work in our lives is never to make you afraid, but to make you full of faith. And when faith and fear are living in the heart at the same time, they go to war against each other, and one's going to win and the other's going to lose. That's why in our lives, feed your faith and starve your fear. Give your faith the light of day. Give your fear the shut door. It's the truth in our lives that these two emotions will never remain there for the same time. There will be a victory and there will be a defeat. Zechariah has got doubt. He's got fear. He's got questions. He says, "How can I be sure of this?" He's uncertain. He's questioning. He has no solid foundation. All beneath him is sinking sand. In contrast to Zechariah, we learn so little about Gabriel. So few words are given to us about Gabriel. He says so little about himself.
But it's not about the abundance of the words. It's about the weight that is on them. In response to the question, how can I be sure of this? Gabriel just opens his mouth. And in my version, he has incredulity in his voice. How can I be sure? Gabriel just opens his mouth and he just goes, I am Gabriel. I'm Gabriel. I am, hello, I'm Gabriel. I'm not a nobody. I'm not a loser. I didn't just drop in here. I didn't just, you know, come here for a lowly purpose and decide to get a bit excited. No. I know who I am. I am Gabriel. I'm Gabriel. I'm Gabriel. I think there's something so powerful in that, that God wants for every single person in this room today, that we would not be filled with insecurity, self-loathing, comparison, put-downs, that we wouldn't think of ourselves less than we ought, but that we would know that we're made in the image of the Most High God, a product of divine design, endued with power from the Most High, alive for a reason, full of latent potential. Destiny's been spoken over you, that you can and you will change the world for God. God wants you looking in the mirror when you get up in the morning and not going another pimple. He wants you slapping your chest and saying, I'm Gabriel. I'm God's gift to the world. I'm here for a reason. I'm alive for a purpose. That's what God wants for every single one of you. He said, I am Gabriel. I know who I am and I know whose I am. I'm confident in myself. I love the life that I'm living. I know that God can use me. I've made mistakes in my past, but they don't disqualify my future because God's plan is still working good. And if you believe that for someone near you, give God some praise in this room today. He said, I am Gabriel. How can you be sure? What are you talking about, Willis? I'm Gabriel. He said, I stand in the presence of God. Bro, I'm not binge watching Netflix. I'm not addicted to social media. I don't fall asleep at night shopping online. I stand in the presence of God. Why do you think I've got faith for promises? Why do you think I'm alive with purpose? Why can I speak to a man who can't have a child, whose wife's full of menopause, and give him a promise? Because I stand in the presence of God. I'm intimate with my God. I know my God. I'm close to my God. I've heard his voice. And then he said, and I have been sent to speak to you. I'm not making this up on the back of a napkin. I didn't drink a Red Bull and decide to get excited. I stood in his presence and I heard his words and he sent me to speak it. Anybody still believe that if God speaks the word and you speak the word, that miracles can happen, cancer can go, provision can come, breakthroughs can take place, addiction can be broken? If you believe it, give God a hearty praise in this place today. Come on. He said, I have identity. I have intimacy. I have authority. But friends, you got to understand this. The authority God wants you to carry, the identity God wants you to have, identity and authority are the overflows of intimacy. The key that unlocks this passage, unlocks our lives. He said, I stand in the presence of God. If we're going to find what God wants us to find, live the lives God wants us to live, the key to everything God has for you to walk through life and to know whose you are and who you are, to feel like your life is significant, that it has a purpose, to stop the shame of self-loathing that is so prevalent in our world today, but instead to know I'm a blood-bought child of the Most High God and I'm full of potential and my life counts for His purpose. If you believe that for someone near you, give God some praise for them. Let them know you're not a mistake. You're not a leftover. You're not redundant. God loves you and has purpose for you. To be able to walk in the authority that God wants you to walk at. Do you understand? Do I understand? God wants demons to fear our name. You're not here so that the world happens to you. You're here to change the world. If you believe you can, give God some praise in this room today. I can change the world. Identity and authority, these are just the overflows of my intimacy. The more I get to know Him, the more I get to know me. The closer I get to Him, the more power I walk with in my life. He said, I stand in the presence of God. In our constantly distracted TikTok generation mindset, age in which we live, where we literally are being compared to the attention span of a goldfish. I think God is looking for a new generation who know what it is to stand in the presence of God. I stand in the presence of God. I stand in the presence of God. To stand in the presence of God. This is a theme that runs all the way through Scripture. Did you know in the book of Jeremiah, God literally said about the prophets, he said in Jeremiah 23, 19, he said, they're running around all over the place, claiming to speak for me, but I gave them no message. It's not my words, yet they're just out there preaching like they got all that in the biscuit. And God says, if they would stand in my presence, if they would see and hear my word, then they would speak my word to my people and turn them from their evil ways and deeds. God's literally saying to the prophets, you've got all the activity, but no authority. You've got a full calendar, but no unction. What I want to give you is not just a full itinerary. I want to give power and liberty. I want you to break the chains that bind people. I want you to set. Anybody believe God wants to set a generation free? Come on, set people free from addiction to drugs, alcoholism, restore marriages, bring sanity back, reconcile families. Bring righteousness to communities. Bring the prospering hand of God. If you believe God can do it, give Him praise in this place today. He's a miracle-working God. Power is in His hands. If you believe it, shout amen. To stand in the presence of God. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. You know, Habakkuk chapter 1, if you've ever read it, is called Habakkuk's Complaint. The verse we all know from the book of Habakkuk is Habakkuk 2:2. And every Vision Sunday, we roll it out in church life. Write the vision, make it plain. He who reads may run with it. We should roll it out. It's a powerful verse. I'm not cynical. I'm just saying that's what we know. But how did Habakkuk get the vision that excited him, that caused him to run? We'll go back. Habakkuk chapter 1. It's called Habakkuk's Complaint. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. Habakkuk literally says, in response to telling God everything. Did you know you can tell God everything that's wrong in your life and He's not fazed by it? Habakkuk spends the whole chapter telling God, this is wrong and that is wrong and the next thing is wrong and it's all just a mess and I can't believe it. He's telling God everything that's going wrong. But then he says in Habakkuk 2, 1. He says, I will stand myself on the ramparts. I will station myself on the ramparts. And then this is what he said. I'll station myself on the ramparts. I will stand my watch. And I will look to see what he will say to me. When God speaks, you don't just hear it, you see it. Visions and dreams come from God. He's saying there's a season of my night that I'm not giving to Netflix. There's a season of my early morning that doesn't belong to Instagram. There's a season of my life where I stand my watch. Do you know Jesus said, blessed is he whose master finds him still waiting even in the second and third watch of the night? In Israel culture, there were four watches of the night. The first would begin at 6 p.m. and go till 10. 10 till 2 is the second. 10 till 6, 2 till 6 a.m. is the third. And because of the fog, they had a fourth watch from 6 o'clock until 10 o'clock. And here's the key for your life. Never make decisions when there's a fog around you. Keep vigilance until the fog lifts and your vision is clear. Many people mess up their lives because they act before the fog lifts. Wow. So there's four watches of the night, and Jesus said, when you pray, when you stand in my presence between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m., second and third watch, there is a peculiar blessing to be found. Why? Because when earth is silent, the voice of heaven is easier to find. Wow. Come on, parents. You can pray while your kids are awake, but it's a lot easier to pray while they're asleep. Oh, come on. You can pray while your husband is awake, but it's a lot easier to pray when he's asleep. Wendy gave me a light amen to that. I'm joking. I stand. To stand means to linger. It means to wait with expectation. The old revivalists used to have this word, tarry. I'm not cool enough to bring it back, but I wish I could. Tarry. Someone's going to make a clothing label one day. It'll be amazing, and they should give me shares. But tarry. It was literally where you would wait until the power came and touched your life. Wow. He said, I stand. I stand. Wow. I stand. He says to Zechariah, he says, Zach, there's a reason why you're so fearful and I'm so confident. A reason why you're so doubting and I'm so clear. A reason why you are confused and I know exactly what God is going to do. And the reason why is I stand in the presence of God. And friends, in the age in which we live, can we all agree? We live in an age of uncertainty. We live in an age of confusion. We live in an age of unprecedented mental health affliction. We live in an age of fear. And in the age in which we live, God gives us the cure to what ails our generation when he says, I stand in the presence of God. I stand in the presence of God. And because I stand in the presence of God, I'm clear when others are confused. I'm confident when others are afraid. I'm bold when others are apprehensive. I've got a faith for the miracle when other people are plagued by doubt. Anybody believe God wants to make you bold and unafraid and confident? If you do, give God some praise in this room tonight. He said, I stand in the presence of God. See, Hebrews 11:1 tells us faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. That's faith. Faith is, help me if you know it, being sure. Faith is, help me, being sure of what you hope for. And then the verse goes on, certain of what you do not see. So if you have faith in your life, the manifestation of faith is that you will be sure and you will be certain. This is what faith brings into your life. Not confused, not doubting, not unafraid, not saying I'd like to serve God, but I'm not really sure. I'd like to do what I feel God's called me to do, but maybe I shouldn't. No, when God speaks into your heart and faith is present, it steps into the unknown. It's boldly going into what you know God has got for you. It's sureness and it's certainty. So how do we get faith? That's the question. Well, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by and hearing by the... You can open the book, be sitting in a seat, but you're standing in the presence of God. Faith comes by. The word hearing in the Greek literally means to have audience. To have audience. You're seated in the seat with your Bible open, but you're having audience. Letting that voice speak. Stand in the presence of God. faith is being sure, and faith comes by having an audience, then my doubts are the manifestations of distance. And if this is true, I know what to do with my doubt. What do? I stand. The band can come and join me. When I'm afraid, I stand. When I'm confused, I stand. We're medicating what we can only cure by standing. We're going to counseling. I'm not against it, but we need to come to the counselor. I stand in the presence of God. I'm worried we're raising a generation, Pastor Tim, of communicators and not preachers. What's the difference between the two? Well, they both know the Bible. They both open their mouths and they give you a sermon. They both can give you 5 points and you can go home and write it down and know that you got a message for the week. But one fills your head, one fills your heart. One gives you information, one gives you impartation. You can be a communicator just by reading a few notes, reading a few chapters of the Bible. You only become a preacher when you've stood in the presence of God and fire from heaven has touched your life and you're alive with an authority that has been given to you not by man but by my Father in heaven. And if you believe God wants to give you that kind of power, give him some praise in this house today. Come on, honor your King. Give glory to your God. Lift your voice and shout. And say, I stand in the presence of God. Stand to your feet, City Point. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. I was praying as I was driving here today. I felt like God spoke into my heart. He said some anxiety that has been plaguing people is going to be broken in this service right now. No. You didn't hear me. Right now. If you're struggling with anxiety, I believe God can break it right here, right now. Where there's been confusion, God can bring clarity. Okay, heaviness. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but there are some people that have just been walking with heaviness around you. It feels like every step you've been taking, you've been swimming in treacle. Just hard, heaviness. God's going to break the spirit of heaviness that's tried to come around your life. Give you a garment of praise for a spirit of despair. It's going to happen right here and right now. All over this room. I believe in a God of miracles. If you believe in that God, shout amen in this room. Amen. Take both hands. Lift them high towards heaven all over the room. If you're physically capable. If you're not, just hold them out in front of you. Lift those hands high. Say these words with me. Say, I stand in the presence of God. Say it again. I stand in the presence of God. I stand in the presence of God. Just close your eyes. Just wait upon Him. Holy Spirit, let your presence come and fill this room right now. Where there has been anxiety, let it be broken, and let confidence and peace of mind flood this room in the name of Jesus Christ, right here and right now. Where there has been depression, let it flee. Confusion, let it flee. Heaviness, let it free. I speak life. I speak faith. I speak joy. I speak hope to every person in this room. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
I know this message will keep speaking to you as you continue your day. So for more information about City Point West, jump on citypointchurch.com or follow our social media accounts, Instagram, City Point West, or our Facebook, City Point Church West. Have a great day.